Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the Old Testament lesson. That's what we've been studying on Wednesdays for the last few weeks. 2 Samuel 7, and I'll read you these verses. From that time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is our text. You may be seated. So this evening, we step back. We have been hanging around 575 B.C., 600, 700 B.C., among the prophets, Zephaniah and Amos and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. We go back 300 to 400 years. We step back to the person of David, who was just established on the throne of Israel. If you've read the history of this man, you know that he spent a long time avoiding enemies. A long time being hunted. A long time struggling. Struggling very hard to keep alive, at least from a human perspective. He even had to put on an act of pretending to be mentally ill in front of the Philistines. Saul did not stop trying to kill him. Years before Hezekiah, Nebuchadnezzar, Amos, and all the others, we go back to a time when it seems that the king of Israel was quite serious and focused on the word of God. If you read his last words, he will tell you he believed that he was a prophet, that God had given him words in particular about a son, words about the Messiah. And of course, he sang about the Messiah over and over again in the Psalms and even in the verses following 2 Samuel 6 or 2 Samuel 7. David was sitting in a newly constructed cedar palace, and the Ark of the Covenant was sitting rather humbly in a tent after it had been on quite a trip all over the place among the Philistines, and it had just recently been brought back, well, actually gathered to Jerusalem after David had taken it. David now considered that the Ark of the Lord should no longer dwell in a simple tent, but rather it was time to build the Lord a house. And while Nathan the prophet gave the message, go ahead, God had other plans. And so when God comes or sends Nathan to speak with David, he breaks the message up. He basically explains the history, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But then he says, I will build you a house. You see, we always think, you know, we built this house. No, Not even one scrap of wood did we provide. You see, when we think of the church is God's creation. The church, that's the people that God has gathered here. And then he's inspired them to put together a place to gather. But it's his building. He did it. Every good and beautiful work, and this is certainly a beautiful place, well, God gets the glory for that. But it came because God had built a house here. That God builds a house, he sustains a house, and we'll see that. A lot of times people don't think like that. The Lord had tabernacled among his people from the beginning, not in a house. Tabernacled. What does that mean? Well, that's what John says. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, tented among us. That's the way God dwelt with his people, in a tabernacle. Not this world nor any city would be a settled home for or a house for God. We sing it in the funeral hymn, "I'm but a stranger here." This is not where we're meant to settle. This is not where we're to wrap our hearts and our minds up. And Jesus warns us about that over and over again. Do not set your hearts on the things below. Do not set your hearts on these things. For this is why God never set a firm house here in this place. Yes, the people of Israel have been established now, and the king seemed to be a man unlike Saul who would take his calling seriously. But the whole of this history is not an easy one to read. Rather, it seems to be a constant battle. We don't like that. We want to build a house. We want to remain in peace. Where the people of God are safe. Well, they're only safe in one house on this earth. They're only safe in one place. They are not safe because the government's in control. They are not safe because they take good care of themselves. They are not safe except in the house of God, the house that he talked about. The people of God are gathered. There is the devil, the world, and our old sinful nature attacking us. Our old sinful nature seems to work quite seriously against us and even against the people of Israel. We lead them to despise and seemingly lose possession of the ark and all that was painstakingly put together that we read in Exodus. This history of this people and the presence of God bear witness to all of this. Whether it be the Philistines, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Lord in his presence would never quite settle here. Even the disciples in the book of Acts. Are you now going to get rid of the Romans and create this great earthly kingdom? Poor guy, you don't know what you're thinking about. The Lord in his presence would never settle here. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus, as he prepared to go to the cross, reminded the disciples that this city, Jerusalem, that this temple would not remain standing, not one stone upon another. And the Christ and his message would go forth on the legs and the voices and from the voices of his servants, still tenting, even using a tent maker, Saul, to get the message out. The Lord therefore reminds David that this is something that he never asked for he knew what was to come. He never asked for it because this is not where God deems to be a sufficient and proper place for his bride. This is not it. Never will be it. It's hard law. God says, "No. I go to prepare a place for you. I will build a house for you, a proper place for a bride, the proper place for a child of God, the proper place." This is not it. Do not set your heart on things below. The Lord says, "This is heaven. That's the only place that can be a sufficient place." That's what God created at the beginning. Everything was good. Everything fit together. There was no sin, no sorrow, no pain. Heaven. And this place will never be a heaven. God promised in Isaiah 61, "So the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." Yes. The Lord begins in this place to call, gather, and enlighten his church, his living temple, his living stones, And not only those who seemingly made their way to Jerusalem, but rather the good news would go forth from there even to the ends of the earth. Tenting, tenting, tenting. This is not a place to build a house. It's going to be destroyed, we heard in 2 Peter. It's going to be burned up. But the Lord promised that he would build a house for David. David, who had spent so much of his life fighting and struggling. In fact, he was even told he wasn't fit to even build what might resemble a temple because he was a man of blood. Remember, he fought with wild animals when he was a young boy. He fought with Goliath when he was still young, and with the Philistines again and again and again, slaying his 10,000s, and with Saul and many others. He was looking for rest. David was looking for rest. You don't find it here. You don't find it here. You find it only in the house of God. You find it only in the person of Christ. David wrote this in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's what we seek. That's where we set our minds. One thing have I desired. That will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There is nothing fit that compares on this earth. We can look and see beautiful things, but they do not compare. Paul will say that the heaviness of this life doesn't compare to the glory of the next. David would also say in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy, lovely thoughts. They shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That house would be built upon the Christ, the cornerstone. That is what the Lord made clear in this passage from Nathan. I will build you a house, a place to abide, where family, God's family abide, where everybody wants their family to abide. Why? Because outside of that house, there is death and torment and fire. And so therefore, I will build you a house. A place worth living. A place to abide where God's family and God's children abide. For the Lord had promised since the fall into sin that he would send the seed of the woman to defeat our enemies, sin, death, and the devil. The Messiah who comes to pay our debt for sin, to die in our place and to suffer hell, to defeat our enemy, the devil. There would be peace between God and man. There would be peace between man and man. There would be no giants to fight. No perennial enemies. But forgiveness and grace. There would be peace in creation. A place where tears and death are no more. That is who God promised would come through David. David and his sons understood this. There are two psalms. They're usually considered psalms about marriage and family. Solomon writes in Psalm 127, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. You shall not be put to shame. And in Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children shall be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Yeah, it's a lovely text. Those are lovely thoughts. But God promised that this one who comes, this blessing, this child, he comes to save us. God says to David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Such a lovely statement. He says, when you're resting, you will not see this one, but you will see him by faith. It is not Solomon. It is Christ that he's speaking about. I will raise up your offspring, your seed, who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And so when David rested with his fathers, the Christ comes, the cornerstone of this eternal house. That is the faith that David lived in and died in. David understood what God was saying. He confessed as much in 2 Samuel 2:17 and to 19, where he says, this is the teaching of the man who is God. He understood it. He believed it. He knew that only God could come and save us. Only God could clothe us and prepare us and fit us out to live in a house. A house that we are alien. A house we're a stranger from. A house we're not fit to enter. The teaching of the man who is God. So David looked forward to his rest. And David, when he was dying, his last words, he sang of this who is the Savior. And so we too, we sing. For this one has come and has established this house by the blood and righteousness of Christ alone. We sing it in the hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrays, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in thy great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. When from the dust of death I rise to claim my mansion in the skies, e'en then this shall be all my plea. Jesus has lived, has died for me. And so we rest with David. We rest with the saints. We rest in the house of God. That's where we spend our time. That's where our minds are fixed. As Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, set your minds on things above, where Christ is. We can rest with David, we who are weary and heavy laden. I will build you a house. That is what God has been doing here. Not this place, although that's a fruit of the faith that he created. I will build you this house. Isn't that what is the most important thing for each of us? To have a house, an abode, a place where we can rest in peace and safety, where we can rejoice, and that's what David sang about. This is what David desired. This is what God promises us all for us all. This is what it means to have faith in Christ, to live in the house of God. I will build you a house, a home, heaven. Everything will be good. Amen.